On a cold December afternoon in 1979, Steve Jobs pulled into the parking lot of the Garden of Allah, a retreat and conference center on the shoulder of Mount Tamalpais in Marin County, north of San Francisco. He was tired, frustrated, angry, and late. The traffic on 280 and 101 had been at a standstill much of the way up from Cupertino, way down south in Silicon Valley, where the company he'd founded, Apple Computer, had its headquarters, and where he had just suffered through a meeting of Apple's board of directors, which was chaired by the venerable Arthur Rock. He and Rock didn't see eye to eye on much of anything. Rock treated him like a child. Rock loved order. He loved processes. He believed that tech companies grew in certain ways, according to certain rules. And he subscribed to these beliefs because he'd seen them work before, most notably at Intel, the great Santa Clara chipmaker that he had backed early on. Rock was perhaps the most notable tech investor of his time, but he in fact had been reluctant to back Apple at first, largely because he'd found Steve and his partner, Steve Wozniak, unpalatable. He didn't see Apple the way Jobs saw it, as an extraordinary company that would humanize computing, and do so with a defiantly unhierarchical organization. Rock simply viewed it as another investment. Steve found board meetings with Rock enervating, not invigorating. He had looked forward to a long, fast drive to Marin with the top down to get rid of the stale stench of seemingly endless discussion. But the Bay Area was shrouded in mist and rain, so the top stayed up. Slick roads made the traffic stultifying, so much so that it took all the pleasure out of the drive and his brand new Mercedes-Benz 450 SL. Steve loved the car. He loved it the way he loved his Lynn Sondek audiophile turntable and his Ansel Adams platinum prints. The car, in fact, was a model for what he thought computers should be. Powerful, sleek, intuitive, and efficient. Nothing wasted at all. But this afternoon, the weather and the traffic had defeated the car. Consequently, he was about half an hour late to the initial meeting of the Seva Foundation, a creation of his friend Larry Brilliant, who looked like a little Buddha himself, albeit in track shoes. Seva's goal was pleasingly ambitious: eliminate a certain kind of blindness that affected millions of people in India. Steve parked and got out of the car. At 6 feet tall and a trim 165 pounds, with brown hair that touched his shoulders and deep, penetrating eyes, he would have been striking anywhere. But in the three-piece suit he'd worn to the board meeting, he looked particularly resplendent. Jobs didn't quite know how he felt about the suit. At Apple, people wore whatever they wanted. He often showed up barefoot. The Garden of Allah was a quaint sort of mansion, built on a hillock up Mount Tamalpais, the verdant peak overlooking San Francisco Bay. Nestled into a covey of redwoods and cypress trees, it meshed classic California arts and crafts style with the feel of a Swiss chalet. Built in 1916 for a wealthy Californian by the name of Ralston Love White, it had been operated by the United Church of Christ since 1957 as a retreat and meeting site. Steve walked across the lawn of the heart-shaped driveway, climbed some stairs to a broad veranda, and entered the building. Inside, one look at the crew gathered around the conference table would have told any casual bystander this was not your typical church gathering. On one side of the table was Ram Dass, the Jewish-born Hindu yogi who in 1971 had published one of Steve's favorite books, Be Here Now, a best-selling guide to meditation, yoga, and spiritual seeking. Nearby sat Bob Weir, the Grateful Dead singer and guitarist. The Dead would be performing a benefit for Seva at the Oakland Coliseum on December 26th. Stephen Jones, an epidemiologist from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, was in attendance, as was Nicole Grasset. Brilliant and Jones had worked for Grasset in India and Bangladesh as part of the World Health Organization's audacious and successful program to eradicate smallpox. The counterculture's favorite trickster philosopher, Wavy Gravy, was there too, sitting with his wife near Dr. Govindappa Venkataswamy, the founder of India's Aravind Eye Hospital, which eventually would help millions of people with an operation that repairs blindness caused by cataracts, a malady that then plagued the region. Brilliant was hoping to pull off something almost as audacious as wiping out smallpox. His goal for Seva was that it would support the work of people like Dr. V, as Brilliant called Venkataswamy, by setting up eye camps throughout Southern Asia to restore sight to the blind in poor rural areas.